So, question for Michael. I'm a Boston boy. I'm just curious. There's a specific scene in the film, which we won't reveal here, that takes place in Boston. It could have been in any city in the world. Who's the Boston and Boston Red Sox geek that chose that?
My writing partner, Zach, and I chose Boston because I think getting destroyed in a Godzilla movie is a badge of honor. It means that your city matters enough to be destroyed in a Godzilla movie. And we've seen New York and Los Angeles, San Francisco, you know, all those other places so many times. Like, why not Beantown?
Sounds good to me. Second part of the question. Fenway Park and the people who run it are notoriously difficult about letting people film there. Very few films have been. How did you do it, and what did you actually film? There were any people, or was it just background you shot and then CGI? How did that work?
It was a combination of location shooting, background, plates, digital set extensions. So it was pretty seamless. Like, you know, the scene of Millie actually entering the field with all the evacuees, that was all done in Atlanta, but merged with actual background plates shot in Boston. But the Fenway group, they were a dream to work with. They were enthusiastic. I think they understood that, getting your city trashed by Godzilla is an honor.
Are you here in the front?
Mike, can you talk a bit about building upon what Garrett Edwards did?
Yeah, I loved what Garrett did in the first film. It felt like the most realistic, grounded Godzilla film that I always wanted to see. It felt like, you know, as a kid, I always fantasized about Godzilla showing up to destroy my school. I used to fantasize about Godzilla ripping off the roof of my church when I was sitting there bored. You know, so I had a habit of just sort of imagining Godzilla entering the real world, and that's what Garrett's film felt like. It felt like if you looked out your window and saw the creatures, it would look exactly like that movie. You know, just very grounded. At the same time, I realized it was there was still room to grow it from there. You know, like, okay, Gareth presented this wonderful vision of what Godzilla in the real world could feel like. What if you threw King Ghidorah into it? What if you threw in Rodan? Like, what would the most grounded, realistic version of those creatures, who were very fantastical? You know, once you start getting to three-headed dragons and giant moths, you have to embrace some of the more mystical, fantastical qualities of it. It stops being pure science fiction and starts to become more science fantasy. At the same time, though, again, Gareth's template was the perfect springboard for that. And so I just dove right in.
Dr. Sarazawa is not only a returning character, but he's also a pre-existing character. And I'm curious if you sort of went back and looked at the 1954 film to sort of inform your character here. And for Michael, what was it like to sort of create a sort of pivotal moment? I want to be as vague as possible. But creating that pivotal moment and sort of that harkens back to the original film.
Last movie is the first Godzilla movie for me in my career, and then first one is a really good test of the Godzilla, and then after the first one, and I heard about this project from my agent, and I need to script, you know. Just second one is after I read the script, it's so great, and because, you know, just change of storytelling is as a scientist to as a core, then just more civilization and humankind and how can it coexist to the nature, and I need to Godzilla. Story is more deep theme and underlines the message or something. And then I think Godzilla story has each Godzilla movie has a different kind of theme and some kind of fear of humankind and Cold War and World War II, after World War II and atomic bomb, a nuclear power or something. And then I I'm thinking about just this Godzilla is kind of like a natural disaster of the in the world or something, and we cannot control about natural disaster. Same thing, and we cannot control the Titans. Then scientists fight to the something, blah blah blah. Then yeah, I heard about the great vision from Michael, and yeah, I try. Yeah,
but I was adamant about bringing Sarazawa and Dr. Graham back because they were my favorite characters from the first film. As much as I enjoyed sort of the G.I. Joe adventure that Aaron Taylor Johnson was on, the scientists who were actually studying this creature and knew more about them, like I really wanted to shift the focus to them. I feel like we don't have enough heroes in big budget movies who are just scientists. Like, let the smart people take the spotlight for once, you know. And it was important to me that Ken's character have a dash of the original 54 character. For a minute, I was toying with the idea of putting him in an eye patch, you know, as if in the 5 years between movies, something would have happened, you know. But then I realized, oh no, it'll look too much like Nick Fury if we do that. But his big scene with Godzilla was a purposeful reflection of the climax of the original 54 film. In my mind, this Sarazawa is setting things right.
In the back,
Mike. One of my favorite parts of this movie. I mean, there's a lot of favorite parts, but the
score. Oh, good. I like hearing that.
The score is absolutely stunning and it's breathtaking. Can you talk about sort of working? Did you work closely with Bear on that, or did you give him free rein to kind of just really embrace all of these things that, like, there's just a lot of fun beats from like this world from like years past worked into the score?
Yeah, both. I mean, I worked very closely with him, but let him do his thing. I fell in love with Bear's music from the revival of Battlestar Galactica. You know, roughly 03 through 08, I think it was. His music was so different and bold. It didn't sound like your typical space opera music. It didn't sound like it was trying to be Star Wars or Star Trek. It was its own unique flavor. And he had a really great way of sort of blending the modern and the old. You know, in the Battlestar music, he brought in instruments, you know, that are thousands of years old. And I wanted that flavor for this film. I didn't want the score for this to sound like every other tentpole movie. I wanted it to sound like the music that would have existed when the Titans ruled the Earth. You know, we kept talking about how it's a monster opera. So that if you just sat and listened to the score with a pair of headphones and closed your eyes, it would transport you to an era when Godzilla and his kind ruled the planet. And it's a dream come true. He's extraordinarily talented. I would work with him again in a heartbeat. And it was obviously very important to me to bring back Godzilla's theme and Mothra's theme. You know, those themes are just as iconic to me as Jaws and Star Wars, even James Bond. So I'm just glad that we get to be the first American Godzilla film to bring those themes back. And Bear was the right man to do it.
Hi, for both. The first for Ken. What does Godzilla mean for the Japanese? Do you feel a responsibility to kind of participate in a film that kind of gets it right? Because I think this film gets it right.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, just first one is like Japanese fan wondering about how can make the Godzilla film in Hollywood or something. But it's a great success. And then Japanese fan think about Japanese icon to go to Hollywood or something. And maybe this one is a world icon, Godzilla, yeah, become up or something.
And then, Michael, I watched all the Godzilla films, and I think you paid respect to every single one of them because there's a little bit of everything in there. So I wanted to ask you, did you go back and watch them? And also, thank you for putting the iconic theme song. Because I was kind of upset. I like the 2014 version, but the fact that the music wasn't in there. So when I heard this, I was like, it was an orgasmic experience.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like...
Did you have to fight for that, or I don't understand?
No, we didn't have to fight for it. I mean, Toho wanted to do it. It was complicated in terms of tracking down all the rights. But yeah, everybody was on board with the idea. I definitely felt like, you know, the fans were heard on the subject as well. And what was the first part of your question? Sorry.
Did you go back and watch all the films? Because a little piece of, like, from every, like you said, the scientist is a hero of all these Godzilla films because they're talking about why he's here, what's going on, what's the next plan of attack. All that was in the movie.
Thanks. Yeah, the fun part for me was getting to put the old movies on in the background while writing. Like, the idea that I could sit at home and work on the script with a Godzilla movie playing in the background and go, I'm being paid for this. Like, this is my job, was pretty stunning, because that's exactly what I did when I was a kid for so many years. And so even while working, like, even at the production office, we had the old movies playing in the lobby on a loop. So I gave the Blu-rays to the people at the front desk, and they would just sort of cycle through them. And it was fun to watch different crew members, like, stopping and watching them, you know, seeing, like, these big, burly construction workers just sitting in the lobby, like, watching the movies. So it was a joy to sort of share that with, you know, everyone involved in the project, and just to make sure that the old movies were present in our thought process. And I had the old posters hung up in the walls of the production office. Anything we could just to sort of embrace the legacy.
Back here. So, Mike, if you could talk a little bit about the villain choices. I mean, Godzilla has a lot of villains you could have chosen. And then, Ken, what did you think about the villains that Godzilla has to go up against?
King Ghidorah is, you know, he's the Joker to Godzilla's Batman. What I love about them in the old films is that you sense the rivalry. I don't know if it's just inherent in the design of the creatures or what, but they look like two monsters that would absolutely hate each other. You know what I mean? Like, maybe they fought over a woman at some point. I don't know. But, like, there's bad blood between these guys, and you feel it. Even though they didn't have dialogue with each other. And so it made sense that King Ghidorah would be the one here. You know, I think I really love the Mutos as a creature design, but you don't have the same sense of history to those creatures. So being able to bring in King Ghidorah, updating with modern technology and visual effects. I mean, I'm a huge fan of dragons, Eastern dragons especially. My middle name is actually means dragon in Vietnamese. So I have I have Patrick, which is my, you know, white name. And then my parents were, I guess, had a debate about what the middle name should be. My mother, who was Vietnamese, insisted on Long, L-O-N-G, which means dragon. So it's Michael Patrick Long Doherty. And so I've grown up with this obsession with Eastern dragons, and we've never seen a really good Eastern dragon in movies. And I thought, well, King Ghidorah should be the one.
Yeah, when I heard about his background, and I was so surprised. And then he was thinking about just all creature has some kind of air, a fire, and water, and ground or something.
Yeah, earth, air, fire, water. Yeah. The idea that each of these creatures is like an elemental. Rodan's fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Godzilla's water.
Water.
And then Mothra's earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like a really Eastern Asian feelings, Asian mind. And then back to the child, I love the King Ghidorah. You know, just boys love the strong villain. Yeah, you know, yeah.
You keep saying that, but all right, girls, do you like a strong villain too?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Yeah,
Mother.
Okay, hi. So how did you go about figuring out of the 17 Titans which ones you were going to focus on the most? Was it because it was the earth, wind, fire, water?
You mean those four?
Yeah.
Mothra, Rodan, King Ghidorah, Godzilla, that's the original kaiju team up. Oh. You know, they were the first ones that you saw cross paths back in the 60s. And 60s. Well, I mean, Godzilla and Rodan were done in 54, in 56, but then the series progressed in the 60s. Okay. So the first time they teamed up and came together was the 60s. And they kept crossing paths ever since then. And I think that alliance is one that was not only embraced by Godzilla fans, but even people who aren't Godzilla fans or at least vaguely familiar with Mothra and the three-headed one. You know, they don't always know the names and the details and the histories, but they recognize those creatures. So it only made sense that they would be the ones to bring to life in this film.
And was there a specific reason why you used certain color palettes for each ones?
The color palettes are representative of the creatures. I was very adamant that the creatures should have an effect on the environment, directly and indirectly, whenever they entered a particular environment. That would separate them from just being giant monsters and put them more into the god category. You know, the idea that Ghidorah can disrupt our atmosphere just by and trigger superstorms just by existing. I love that they are that chaotic potentially with Mother Nature. You know, I love that Rodan could easily not only swoop over a city and level it, but theoretically he could probably dive bomb into a volcano and then set off an entire chain reaction of volcanic eruptions if he wanted to. You know, they are climate change to the nth degree.
Yes, can you talk a little bit about the science of this and how important it is to kind of, you know, even though it's fictional, to kind of maintain, like, how far a ship could be away from, from Godzilla before it burned up and that sort of thing. And secondly, can you talk about casting Millie Bobby Brown?
Sure. The science of it was important to me. I feel like in another life I would have been a scientist. I grew up loving biology and animals in the natural world. In high school, I used to work at a science museum. And by the way, that was very much inspired by a love of Godzilla movies. You know, what I love about, even going back to the original, is that the heroes of a lot of Godzilla movies are scientists, which is something that we don't get that much in Western movies. It's all, superheroes and mech suits. So it's important to me that Sarazawa and the Monarch crew are the heroes of the movie, and they're the eggheads. But they're eggheads who are willing to put their lives on the line. In the same way that Indiana Jones is such a great archetype and role model because he's an adventurer who kicks ass, but he's also a college professor. But the science of it is important to me because I think Godzilla as a legacy has had so much to say about scientists, science, both good and bad, the benefits of science, but also the potential dangers of it. I felt like depicting these creatures realistically also meant that we had to have some believable science to it. Obviously you have to suspend your disbelief a little bit. If you're going to believe that there's radioactive monsters, but how do you make it as plausible and realistic as possible?
Millie Brown?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Millie's great. she was still, I think, season two of Stranger Things had just been shot, not even aired yet. And I was a huge fan of the show. And my previous animators and I used her face as reference, as a model for the previs for the movie before we ever cast her, and got so used to seeing her face that we just kind of said, well, why don't we make her the offer? And we had a breakfast here at the London years ago, and we actually spent more time talking about our mutual love of animals and like pet reptiles and just a love of nature. And so I think she clicked with the themes of the film.
Right there. Hi, Ken. You worked with a lot of unique directors over your career, but you worked on two of these films. And Michael, of course, is very different than Gareth. What were the comparisons that you had with the two directors?
It's a tough question. I love them both, but a little different kind of the style of the shooting. And then he was trying to move in the camera and truck in, truck back with a crane and a steady and handy cam or something. They always camera focus to the different kind of movie. Then we tried a lot of shots. We need to take a lot. But I love that. And then sometimes, you know, just acting is so wonderful. Try again. And acting so excellent. And one more game.
Because the camera is a character too, and the camera is not always in focus.
Right.
You know?
Out of focus and in focus, and then some kind of different movement of a camera. And then, but I love that, you know, just we can get the great result. Yeah. And then, Gareth also just, he has a great passion and a little bit geek in a Godzilla or something. But it's cannot compare the passion of a geek.
Did you see Gareth last night?
Last night, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
One more question.
Director, I was wondering, can you talk about the Zi Zhang's character? It feels like she is a strong female scientist that's not afraid of say her opinion, not just explain the background. So can you talk about creating this character? And also, it feels like there's still more background story about her. Are we going to see more of her? Maybe or cut in the direct, maybe DVD or something?
Something I love about a lot of the older classic Godzilla films is they have a lot of strong female characters, you know, going back to the original. It's filled with, you know, very opinionated, strong female scientists. And again, it's just something that you, and I'm sorry, so I grew up used to that. And again, my mother and her sisters were very strong female characters in my life. And I was always a little bit disappointed that you didn't see a lot of outspoken Asian characters in American movies. You know, a big reason that I was inspired to make Godzilla films is because as a half-Asian kid who was teased a lot, Godzilla films were an escape. And it really inspired me to watch movies made by other Asian people. So it was like Godzilla movies and Kung Fu movies, like, you know, the two best genres. And so it was important to me to have a character like Dr. Chen, Zhang Ziyi's character, to continue what I had seen in the original films. And also, yeah, her character has strong ties. I'm trying to choose my words very carefully here. Have you guys all seen the movie?
Yeah.
Did you guys pick up on her? Okay. All right. All right. We're all friends here now then. Okay. And as long as you guys don't be careful about how you reveal what we're talking about here. The twins are such an iconic part of the Godzilla legacy. And in knowing we're going to bring Mothra into the series, it felt weird to not find some way to bring in her two priestesses. So I wanted to find a way to do that was grounded, but also real, not just sort of not just a cameo, but something that at least was indicative of potential future. I'm sorry, I'm trying to find the words. Would lay the groundwork for a really interesting relationship between Zhang Ziyi and Mothra. She was the perfect actress for that. You know, she has a certain mystique.
I agree.
She has a certain mystique, aura, and strength about her. You know, she's beautiful and elegant, but she can also kick your ass. So she has that in common with Mothra.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. All right.